Okay. Yeah, just a little about me. I've been using Postgres since before it got the QL on the end, and OpenACS since before it was open. Currently, have my own company, Logan Software, and I've worked at USU's Space Dynamics Laboratory for 40 plus years. A lot of that doing web application development. I wanted to, within my company, I wanted to be able to have a full offline development environment for OpenACS, so I can code when I'm off of the cabin in the woods with just electricity. I mean, doing it on a laptop, I want to minimize resource usage on my laptop, run everything on a single database server, but be able to have all the various sites that we develop for there and available, so I can easily run them, and some tools to synchronize the code between other developers and the production site. So my solution was Docker Compose environments, allows and to split up Postgres, have it running in a separate container than the Navis server instances. That allowed me to use the existing Postgres containers from Docker Hub or PostGIS. A lot of the sites we do have GIS components, and then I built set up to build the Navis server container, and I can build that from a Docker file, and then I push it up to Docker Hub, so I can just pull it down or rebuild it from scratch if I need to. And we needed to develop some tools. I'll talk a little bit more about the structure, but with the OpenACS packages, I mean, checking out the OpenACS instance core and those packages in one from one Git repository, and then all these other packages from different repositories. So I wanted a way to synchronize all that and develop this a set of scripts to capture, I mean, the state of a given server, and then synchronize other servers so that it has all the pulls out all the same packages. And then for the database, just a tool to manage the creation of the site, loading a database into it from a dump from production, and then making modifications to that before we started up the Navis server. I want to kind of breeze through this kind of quickly, and then leave a little more time for questions if there are any. But this was the Docker Compose. Basically, I set up a for each Docker Compose environment, set up a specific network that all the containers within that share, and then Postgres, a Postgres instance. This just shows how this is kind of just a snippet of that Compose, and then the base. This LSW base is kind of the a container that I set up and just manage our kind of our core package custom packages. Talk a little more about the if you look down towards the bottom, there's this entry point and command. I had to create a script that would check to see if Postgres is actually ready to connect. If you look over on the right-hand side, the Docker Compose does have this idea of a depends on. So if this, the LSW base, that container won't start up until the Postgres container is started up. But it only, that depends, it just knows that it has started the Postgres 15 container. It doesn't know that Postgres is ready to receive connections. So that script, in fact, this is it. It's just a simple bash script that goes through and checks to find out if it can connect to the database that it needs. And it just loops until with a little timeout. And then once Postgres is available, it kicks over and starts up the Naviserver executable in that container. A few things that we really struggled with at the beginning as we were learning Docker Compose. There's we had multiple projects on the same server, and we'd be shutting each other's systems down because we didn't understand that. You have to have that project name. So like each project is separated, and you have to, because of that .env file, you have to be in that directory when you run the Docker Compose commands, the Docker Compose up or down. I already talked about the depends on the other thing, there's a build, go back to this up the top on the left. I set up a build environment for the Docker file, but that will take precedence. If you have that uncommented, it's going to ignore the image location, but comment that out, then it will, you do the Docker Compose up and it will pull down the Naviserver image from the Docker Hub. So communication between the containers in that environment are connected to a specific Docker network. You can use the container name as a host name. You do host name dot network name, and that'll use the DNS, basically intercepts the DNS resolution and gives you the IP address that the Docker assigned to the container. My other tools, so I created this git info.tcl that basically just, it creates a file that has a listing of all the git repositories under that directory and information about them, what in the remote URL for the repository and what branch and what tag it's on. And then the git diff just compares that. You can run it, you can go to another machine, take that file and run it and compare. You can see what packages are different from that reference file. And the git sync you can use to either check out, you can just use the file and do it'll do an initial clone and pull all those packages into the directory so you have a match, or it will update, so just switch packages to a tag that matches so that you can easily tell, know that you've got the same environment that is running in production. And then the git status is just a one I added just recently, just to see what's going on. And I have all these packages, and it shows you what ones are on tags, what ones are on branches, if there are local changes, it'll do a fetch, and you can actually see whether whether it's behind or ahead of the remote repository, and that's been invaluable to make sure everybody's in sync, everybody's operating on the same thing. And then when we go to deploy, we deploy with that file, so we know that our production site is pulling out exactly the packages that we've tested. I have got so it's basically open to anybody who wants to go on our Confluence wiki space. There's a full page that walks through the installation. It's not completely trivial, but not really hard either. The GitSync and is on our Bitbucket server. That's open, and a lot of the packages that we've developed are there on our Bitbucket server as well. Some of them are just basically just copies of the OpenACS core packages, but I need to have tags when I'm going for a deployment, so I know that I'm really deploying the same versions of all those packages, the same commit. And then ZFS, it's where your data belongs. That's kind of extraneous, but no presentation by me is complete without some reference to ZFS. You can go Google me and CFS and Postgres. There's stuff out, presentations I've made on that. Some disclaimers. There will be some differences. In the OpenACS core, because we have a lot of legacy code, and there were some in the past modified OpenACS, sometimes backward compatibility. I'm slowly getting rid of those, so hopefully someday we won't have any changes to the core. The significant one probably is the PostgreSQL driver. We made a mod so that you can do bind variable dereferencing of array variables. The Naviserver container, if you just grab that, it's got some other OS utilities that we depend on, so you may or may not want those, but you can take the Docker file and pull out, you know, comment out what you don't want. All of our packages are, you know, PostgreSQL only, mainly because there's just some features we desperately want, like range types in tables, and don't have a need to deal with those in Oracle at this point. And this is all, it's work in progress, so I encourage feedback of any kind. You know, if we're doing something crazy and you see a better way, I'd love to hear about it. Okay, questions?
Yeah, thank you very much for your presentation. Maybe a first question from my side is, I mean, you mentioned this array bind variable extension. I mean, question A is this somewhere available? And part of the question two is, can this be used also in a similar way or the same way also for dict values?
Yes, it's definitely available. I don't know if you, Tony Kirkham actually did it's the mod to this, it's a mod to the C Postgres driver. So I can send you that patch or point you to to the code that he did to change that. And then there's a TCL proc that we also modified, because this DB map, or I think also implements the same thing in a, you know, slightly different way. So if you're not using the driver, but yeah, I definitely would share that, and I would love to have it integrated in so that I don't have to keep patching. It's not that the one issue is it wouldn't work for Oracle. We'd have to make the same, a similar thing to the Oracle driver if you want it supported there.
One can check it. I mean, it's just look at this as the first step, and then one can decide how to move on. I mean, is there anything else from the, let's say, Navi server or OpenACS world that could be changed to make your life easier?
Yeah, there's a few. I mean, a couple patches I would push back. I think most of them, it's us just moving forward. You know, change that. You know, nearly million lines of code. Review it, and update to work with it instead of putting in our backward compatibility patches. One of them is the definition of true, true and false. We have a lot of code that uses basically the idea that zero is false and yet anything else is true. So a number, so we'll pass back a number that has significance, but also can be tested for, is this true? And that's, I don't expect I'm going to change the rest of the community's idea on that. I wouldn't expect you to, so that's one we just need to adapt to. But I do modify that in the core so that our stuff will work. But I suspect if I don't move on, at some point my patch is going to break other things in OpenACS for me. So.
Okay, thank you. Questions from the audience? Seems that all questions are answered. Thank you very much again for your presentation, Keith, and expecting to get an email from you with the whatever link or the patch of the Postgres driver. Thank you.
Okay.